Let's all stand together, just for a minute. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you. And the reason we can praise you from the inside out, Lord, is because you came inside. Lord, where we were broken, where we were hopeless, where we had not a chance, Lord, you came in, you intervened, and your hand came upon our lives, Lord, and you touched us so that we could cry out like the old spiritual. We are free at last. We are free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are free at last. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I got news of somebody that I went to school with got an illness and they had passed away, and somebody called last week just to tell me about it. And honestly, you know, they told me the person's name, and it's a name I hadn't thought of in years. You know, and it wasn't necessarily a close friend or somebody that I hung out with. It was just somebody who definitely, for those 4 years of high school, our lives crossed paths every day. And I couldn't help but wonder, especially as I was thinking about this Wednesday night, thinking about what we would kind of be thinking about tonight together, you know, the commission, that when Jesus saved us, you know, I believe the ultimate desire of us being saved is that we spend eternity in heaven with God. But I believe that there are other responsibilities. I heard a friend of mine who's adopted. And he likens his salvation to being adopted. He said, you know, now that I'm saved, I have all the rights. I have all the privileges of being a child of God. And he likened it to when he was adopted, that his adoptive family, once they adopted him and his name became their name, right? That he has all the privileges of what it means to be a child in that home, to be a son in that home. He said, but I think what Christians miss is that not only do we have those privileges and those rights, but we also have responsibility. Because there are certain things that God asks of us. And some we like more than others, some we struggle with more than others. But tonight we're going to talk about the commission. That not only are we called out by God for salvation, but we are sent out by God to proclaim salvation. Now, I know the challenge of this message is, even as I use those words, we're sent out to proclaim salvation. You all, I think most of us picture in our mind a setting like this, where you're up and you're preaching, and you know, when Jesus sent them out, he sent them out two by two, and he didn't send them to mass arenas and, you know, places where people gathered. But he sent them back to the relationships that they all were already in. And I thought about this guy who died last week. And I was trying to remember, if anything in my life, or any words that I had to say, might have pointed him to the cross. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And I was thinking of the passion that Paul had. In Romans chapter 10, and this is really long, because there's no way you can get in Romans chapter 10 and just pick out a few verses. So just bear with me tonight. Listen to how this begins. Paul writes to the church at Rome, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." Now, did you hear that? Did you hear what Paul said? My heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Because there's a lot of talk about, so are these God's chosen people? Are they automatically saved? I mean, do they all get a pass? I mean, what's going on here? But Paul writes, and he seems to be declaring that they're not all going to be saved. He said it was his heart's desire and his prayer to God. It's what he prayed to God for. Now, I'm going to tell you, in this commission, one of the reasons, I have never met, that's not true. I've met very few people who have never shared the gospel, but had prayed fervently that people would be saved. Are you with me? I've met very few people who've never shared the gospel, and yet they prayed fervently that people would be saved. Because typically, before you're going to start sharing the gospel with people, you know what you're typically going to do first? You're going to begin to have a burden and pray that somebody specifically, somebody that God has put in your life, you're going to begin to pray that they get saved. Paul has this passion for his people. He says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." And listen to what Paul says there. This is powerful. Verse 4. "Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." You see, at the end of the law is Jesus. Do you know how incredible that news is for me and you tonight? I don't know that you do. I'm kind of looking out. I'm seeing your faces. And you're all just kind of looking at me like, This is incredible news. Because if at the end of the law was death, then there would be no hope for us. And that's the way it appeared for a long time. You see, there was a righteousness that they thought could be obtained through the law, through the rules. I'm going to be really good. Now, I want you to know, of all the subjects that I've preached on, especially since I've been at this church, this is always one of the toughest. Now, I usually get a few emails from folks just really struggling with this. Because no matter what we say about the cross, and no matter what we say about Jesus, so many of us are trying to earn our way to heaven. And Paul is saying, that's what the Israelites were doing. He said, he lifted up the Ten Commandments, and he said, we're going to live the best life that we can. And we're going to keep all these laws and all these commandments. But you remember, Jesus came, and Jesus made this incredible statement. We just hit it just for a minute a few weeks ago. Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Because you see, what was told is if you can keep the law, then at the end of that law is righteousness that would come from God. Now, here's the problem. Nobody can keep the law. Nobody could do that. Not one person has been able to keep the law. But then Jesus comes, and he doesn't do away with the law. Guess what? In Jesus, we have one who was without sin. And so Jesus fulfills all the requirements of the law. Now hear me on this. Give me a little room here. And that there's no sin. There's not a blemish. Nobody can find any fault in him. He's perfect. And what you have at the end of the law is Jesus. And he fulfilled the law for you and for me because we couldn't do it. And so at the end of the law is a righteousness from God through the person of Jesus Christ. He said the Israelites, man, they're trying to do this without Jesus. And most of you would know and hear the Israelites pretty much said Jesus was not the Messiah. If you meet present day Jewish people, they will tell you that they are what? They are waiting on the Messiah because he has not yet come. You see, but the Messiah has come. Jesus has come. And it's amazing, of all the prophecies in the Old Testament told about Jesus, and every one of them has come true in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul said, man, the Israelites, they're banking it all on that they're going to live a good enough life to get there. You see, listen to what he says very specifically. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, they sought to establish their own. How many of us do that? How many of us do that? That we say, you know, I'm just going to do my very best. Most of us would say Jesus is the only way to heaven, the cross and the resurrection. That's the only hope we have. But just in case, I'm really going to try to live a good life. And you know, and you do not need a preacher to stand up here to tell you, you have failed. We know that. We know that our lives have fallen short. But there was a cross and a resurrection. There is a righteousness that we can have that is from God through Jesus. And I wonder if anything I did, any way that I lived, somehow communicated to this young man who died last week in those 4 years where our lives continually crossed paths. I wonder if there was anything that pointed him to the cross, because that was my commission. That was my call, to live my life in such a way that it would point people to the cross. Now, this will be a very uncomfortable message tonight. I don't know that I mean for it to be so, but I think God does. My prayer for the altar tonight is that really there would just be a strong conviction followed by a strong confidence that when it comes to that moment, that time for us to share the gospel, the Bible says that God will put the words in our mouths. And I bet some of you could testify to that tonight. Some of you could stand up and say, you know what? That is so true, because there was this one time, or there was this time that God did that. Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. That there is certainty in that. Because have you found that there's not certainty in the way you live your life? It's going good and you hit Scottsville Road at 5 o'clock and the day goes downhill, doesn't it? And you drive and the sheriff has some woman pulled over and she runs from him and you wonder what to do. Listen, we know that our lives are not going to measure up to earn the righteousness of God. Can't do it. However, we can have a righteousness that's from God through Jesus. All people struggle with that. Some of you here tonight, you struggle with that. That somebody would have to do it for you because you can't do it for yourself. Now, I'm coming, I think, through a different door to talk about the commission tonight. To talk about why we should share our faith. Because I think if we don't have this kind of knowledge, if we don't believe what the scriptures have taught us about righteousness and that there's no righteousness apart from Jesus Christ, then why would we share the gospel? Why would we? For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now listen, everybody listen. Because when I read that verse, I always think of another verse in the Bible. Can anybody think about what verse I think of when I read everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Nope, that's a good one though. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So obviously, what's at work here? Paul has just given a theological discourse on how righteousness can only be obtained for you and for me through Christ. Not by works. And I think there's a lot of people trying to live the best life they can. And they're saying, well, Lord, Lord. But Paul ends this theological discourse by saying everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Because he's just given a thorough explanation why there was the law. Why was the law in place so that you and I would know, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Because I'm not going to be able to do all of these things. So what am I going to do? And then Jesus comes. And in this explanation, we begin to understand that you cannot earn, as I've said here a lot on Wednesday night, you cannot earn what God wants to freely give you through the blood of Jesus. You can't earn it. Your life's never going to be good enough as far as behavior modification goes. How many of you realized after you were saved, you still wanted to do some of the old things? Oh my goodness, you are lying. I mean, if your hands down, you're lying. I mean, you know, it didn't take long to realize. I mean, I get those calls all the time to people on Sunday morning. Woo! They're feeling it. right? And oh, that's it. I'm never going to sin again. And then they leave here. And many of those desires are still with them. And they still desire to do the same thing. Somebody, it was really challenging one time. And they said, that just doesn't make sense. And I told him, I said, if I did everything I wanted, I'd be in prison. Being a Christian isn't about not wanting to do bad things. Being a Christian's about not doing them. Doing my best to not do them. Because every day, what's new according to God? Each morning, His mercy. I don't know about you, but that's what I need every morning, right? Just me? Okay. Just me. Well, that's fine. I need it every morning. And Paul ends this by saying, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's a deeper understanding here than just calling out to the Lord. But it's understanding that that righteousness, I can't obtain it on my own. I can't just keep the law. I can't just live a good life. And that is a tough message. Because whether we admit it or not, and everybody listen to what I'm about to tell you, because you're going to freak out a little bit. No matter what we say, most Christians don't live by what the Bible teaches. Most Christians live by karma. If they do something bad, what do they deserve? Bad things to happen. But if they do something good, then they deserve some good things. And we kind of live our lives. I mean, a lot of Christians live their lives like that. If things get bad, it could never possibly be that God's just taking you through a trial to grow you. Right? Because that is possible. Has God ever taken you to that place where it was just really tough and you didn't do anything? It wasn't some dumb thing you did this time. God just took us to a really tough place to grow us and to make us more like Jesus. That's not karma. That's holiness. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. Matter of fact, salvation is opened up to the Gentiles. And over the scriptures say this happened to make the Jewish people jealous. That God would extend His grace even outside of those chosen people. And He did it to make them jealous. And yet, that wasn't something God just decided to do last minute. That was always, always in the plan. Listen to what He says. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? This is a great question the Apostle Paul is asking. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? He's just given this discourse. Their righteousness, if you're just going with just the knowledge that you had, if you're just trying to earn your way, it's not going to be good enough. But the righteousness you must have is a righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And he's asking a question. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? Here's the answer. Are you ready? Because I always, whenever I preach out of Romans 10, I use this passage and I always just throw those questions out there and I make people answer. And I tell them I won't go on until they answer. And when I say, how then can they call on one they've not believed in? Somebody always answers and says, Jesus! And it sounds good. And what kind of pastor are you if somebody says Jesus and you tell them they're wrong? You know? But Paul's asking a question. How then can they call on one they've not believed in? Here's the answer. They can't. Did you hear that? They can't. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? They can't. And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? I mean, what a question. What a question. How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? They can't. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? They can't. And let me just help you. This word preaching can be translated a couple of ways. One of the ways it can be translated is proclaim. And the point of this is somebody's got to tell them about Jesus. And how can they preach or proclaim unless they are sent? Now, I've debated whether to even go here tonight, but I'm going to go here because I think it's really important. And we've got a few minutes. Because probably one of the number one questions I get asked, especially if I speak at a university or in a setting like that, the number one question that I get asked, and let me just go ahead and tell you, what I'm about to tell you may just really rock your world, and I don't want to debate publicly in front of everybody here tonight, but feel free to email me at scarbo@hillview.com, and I'll be glad to attend to that email. No, ward@hillview.com. But here's the deal. People ask me, especially in university settings, number one question I get asked, what happens to people who never hear the gospel? What happens to them? And usually it's this really kind of drawn out question. What happened? That person on the other side of the world, and they don't have electricity or light, and they eat ants or whatever. You know, what happens to those people who've never heard the gospel? And folks really like to build a theology that says if you don't hear the gospel, you're going to be okay. So I want to tell you where I stand tonight. And first of all, I want to tell you, I can't stand where I want to stand. Is everybody with me on that? Because it doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what you'd like to believe or what I'd like to believe. This is what we have. And God has chosen to reveal Himself through His Word. Therefore, I can only believe what He's given me. And right here, it's clear. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? They can't. And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? They can't. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? They can't. And how can they preach unless they are sent? They won't. And so here's the deal. That's why at Hillview Heights Church, we believe that we've got to go to Costa Rica. We've got to go. The gospel has got to go there. Because if they don't hear about Jesus, they can't be saved. Now here's the deal. We use a lot of religious language. And when you hear this all the time in Hillview, that people got saved. And I ask people all the time, what are we saved from? What are we saved from? And people would just yell out answers, and some will say, we're saved from our sins. No, your sins don't kill you. Now, the result of having sin is death, but it's not your sin that kills you. Does everybody understand that? It's hard for sin to kill you. People say, I'm saved from myself. Well, you're not ultimately what destroys you. So that's not what you're saved from. And then people will say, I'm saved from Satan. Satan can only do to you what God will allow Satan to do to you. Does everybody understand that? Remember Job? And Satan wanted to get in Job's business. And where did Satan have to go to get permission? Come on now, it's in here. Where did he have to go? He had to go to God. And he said, Job wouldn't follow you if his life wasn't going so good. And God said, I'll tell you what, do anything you want to Job, but don't take his life. And he'll still follow me. Now, we could have a whole sermon. We got theologians back there, don't we? We could have a whole sermon just on that, but we're not going to. You know what literally we're saved from? We are saved from the wrath of God. Remember that God is holy and He is just, and sin is an offense to God. How offended does this God get over sin? He gets so offended that He would send His one and only Son to die on the cross so that sin could be paid for once and for all. That's how serious God is about sin. You see, I'm saved from the wrath of God because He created me. He's the only one that can destroy me. Are you with me? Some of you are shaking your heads really good. Some of you are going, that's weird. We used to really love this church. We're also Southern Baptists here. I know a lot of you didn't know that. That may come as a shock to some of you, but we are a Southern Baptist church, which means this, isn't it? And I'll tell you, it's the only reason I'm a Southern Baptist. All right? It's the only reason I'm a Southern Baptist is that when you give your tithes and offerings, we send a portion of our tithes and offerings that are given to this church to a thing called the Cooperative Program. And the Cooperative Program is 48,000 churches pulling their money together to send missionaries all over the world. It's the only, if the Southern Baptists didn't have the Cooperative Program, I'd probably be something else. I don't know what, but I'd probably be something else. You know why? Because I believe that what you're saved from is the wrath of God. And I believe the reason that people go to hell, are you with me? You everybody ready? I believe the reason that people go to hell isn't because they rejected Jesus. Did everybody hear me say that? You do not go to hell for rejecting Jesus. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That has nothing to do with Jesus. Is everybody with me? That has nothing to do with Jesus. The reason that people go to hell is because we are sinners. And the Bible says everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Now, why am I going into all this? And some of you are giving me some really weird looks right now. Why would I go into all this? Here's why. Because I believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. And I believe that at the end of this life, our destination will be one of those two places, every person. And I believe nobody will be exempt for any reason. If you went to hell for rejecting Jesus, if that was the reason you went to hell, then I would say, let's not send missionaries to the other end of the globe. Because as long as they don't hear about Jesus, they'll be okay, right? I mean, that's what some would say. So why are we going to Costa Rica? Why are we sending missionaries? If I believed that if you didn't hear about Jesus, you'd be okay, I wouldn't send missionaries around the world. I'd send armed guards to stand watch at the door of every nation and not let the gospel come in so that they never hear about it, so that they'll be okay. But Paul says, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? You and I have to believe this very basic doctrine of our faith. The scripture teaches that there's a heaven and there's a hell. That every person born is born with sin. We're born separated from God. We're born in need of a Savior. We've got to believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. And I know probably some of us, if we were honest, we'd say, I'd rather not believe that. But remember, it's not up to you and I to decide what we will and will not believe. We have to read the scriptures. And we have to read what God has given us. I don't know about you. Because I'd say, this is an uncomfortable message. This isn't a feel-good message. It's not a funny message. But I believe it's a truthful message, and I believe it's a message that is crucial to your understanding and my understanding of what it means to be a Christian and what it means for us to live out our faith every day, that it matters. Paul ends this saying, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so it matters. And if it didn't matter, I guarantee you this, I would not be a pastor. I would have done something else. What about you, Keith? I'd have done something else. But I believe all of us are commissioned. And I believe all of us have been sent by God. And I believe some of us will be sent to Costa Rica. I believe some of us will be sent to Romania, and I believe some of us will be sent to different places, but here's the deal. All of us are going to be sent, but I just believe that most of us, we're already right in the place that God has sent us to. We're already right in that place. We're already, there's people in our home, God has sent us to those people. People at our work, God has sent us to those people. We have friends, God has sent us to those people, and that this commission is very real. And this is the great news of the message, is that we've already been commissioned. When Jesus saved you, He also sent you to share the greatest news that anybody could ever hear. So at Hillview Heights Church, we believe that it's imperative that we go to the nations. And we believe it's imperative that we go to Costa Rica. And we believe it's imperative that people hear the gospel. So we need to live the best lives we can, but we understand that our lives will fall short. But we need to be faithful. So at this altar, I am praying, and we're getting ready to have altar. I'm praying for conviction. I'm praying that many of us in this room tonight are convicted. Because when I tell you about last week, somebody dying that I spent about 4 years with of my life, and I wonder, did they catch the gospel from my life? I don't know the answer to that. And I know being a pastor here, you guys know this. People die every day. And the gospel matters. The gospel matters. Because it's only through Jesus that people can be saved. So I pray for conviction. I pray that some of us would just come to this altar honestly with a broken heart. Now, I don't want you to come feeling guilty, okay? Because we can't go back and undo something that we've already done, or we can't go back and do something that we didn't do. So guilt, I don't believe, would be of the Lord. But conviction would be that, you know what? I need to be more faithful in sharing what Jesus has done in my life. And I'm praying for that. And in hand, I'm praying not just for conviction, but also for confidence. Because we're to proclaim the gospel. I can't think of a more intimidating way to say that. Because when I say, if I were to say, who wants to proclaim the gospel? I don't know that the majority of us would feel that way. I think we all feel like we should be telling people about Jesus and what he's done in our life. And let me just help you. That's proclaiming the gospel. To share what Jesus has done in our lives. That's why, honestly, that's why hard times in our lives are so powerful. Because when you're going through a difficult time in your life, people will listen to you. Whether it's out of pity, they feel sorry for you, so they feel like they should listen to you. That's okay, I'll take that. Or they feel like just listening to you encourages you, so they'll listen. I want to be faithful with that. So I'm praying for conviction and confidence. That you and I, we have been commissioned. When you were saved, you were sent. So let me close with this. I was a youth pastor at a church in a small town in Kentucky. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I was going to be the guy hanging out with everybody's teenagers. How frightening is that? And I remember my first Wednesday night for youth group, there were 6 kids in the youth group. And I was so discouraged. And I thought, where are all these kids? And so finally, after meeting for a couple weeks, I said, I want you guys to do something. I want you to think of the 5 baddest kids in your school. I mean, 5 kids that you're sure are going to, before they get to hell, they're going to be in prison or something like that. And so these 6 kids wrote down 5 names. And I'm telling you, you're going to think I'm lying, but it's the truth. That almost every one of those kids wrote down the same 5 names. I could tell you their names if this sermon wasn't going to be broadcast on the internet. And I'll tell you why I could tell you these names, the names of these boys. Because within about 2 months, every one of these boys got saved. And started coming to this youth group. Faithfully. It was wild. Because they didn't look like church boys. Of course, you got to remember, this was back in the mid-90s. So most people don't look like church people anymore. But back then, they really didn't. And I'll never forget, one by one, those boys asking Jesus Christ to come into their hearts. And I don't know, whatever God does with the rest of my life, I don't know that he'll do anything that I'll remember more than those boys. It was amazing. And I want to tell you, you obviously already know the first key. They didn't come because there was a great youth pastor. You already know that because you know me. But they came because there were 6 kids that had a conviction and a confidence. And they wanted those boys to be saved. We're not going to have a long altar call tonight. But I want to invite you to come to the altar. And maybe we just pray. Sometimes after a message like this, my first prayer is, Lord, forgive me. Because I've been worried about me a whole lot, and I haven't been worried about where other people are. And then my second prayer is, Lord, give me the confidence to share what you've done in my life with other people. Give me that confidence, Lord. Really, a confidence that's almost like I don't care what anybody thinks about me, because they may all think I'm a raving religious lunatic. But Lord, I want to be faithful to you. So let me pray, and this altar will be open. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. And I thank you that there was a cross and a resurrection. And I thank you that you were faithful when I wasn't. And I thank you that when I felt so inadequate to tell what you've done in my life, you used it in powerful ways in other people's lives. Thank you that you saved us. Lord Jesus, tonight, thank you that somebody shared you with us. Somebody told us about you and about a cross and about a resurrection. Thank you for that person. May we be that person to somebody else. We love you. In your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.